how do you fix horse racing, particularly in the province of Ontario? Now, there will be those who will obstinately say that horse racing doesn't need to be fixed. And I'm not here to tell you that I go to the races enough to know if it's broken or if it's not, how much trouble it's really in. I know anecdotal stories, but that's really all I know. But there are issues, clearly, in the horse racing business. Anthony McDonald knows a lot about it, and he joins us to talk a little bit about it. Anthony, how are you?
Very good, you?
Excellent. You've been a driver, a trainer, certainly an entrepreneur, and your perception is that there is a problem here, but you think you know how to fix it? Is that true?
Well, I know how to fix part of it. I think we all know there's a real problem. There's lots of problems in the industry, and we're at a place right now where we have to fix them, and time, unfortunately, is not on our side. And, you know, you can only fix one little bit at a part. I mean, one little bit at a time. And for me, I know that we have a huge, massive owner shortage. You know, we have a huge horse shortage. And obviously the big question is, how do you deal with that? You know, it's only perpetuated by the classes we have now where horses aren't getting in on a regular basis for owners. And unfortunately, sometimes the classes are a little lopsided, let's say. So it really chips away at a lot of problems. It chips away at the foundation of our game here in Ontario. So what we've done, my wife and I, has built a fractional ownership site, and we did it in such a way that it was extremely inexpensive for people to get involved and people to take part in horse racing, and it's exceeded even the expectations that I had for it. I didn't realize that, you know, not a lot of people know this, but maybe some do. I ran for the PC party in the last election in Guelph, and from knocking on doors and talking to people, I was obviously, everybody knew that where I came from and what I did for a living. So we ended up striking up conversation with multiple people in Guelph, and it was shocking to me how many of them loved horses, loved horse racing, but had never ever gone to the racetrack, had never ever owned a piece of a horse or taken part in any facet of racing, which is shocking because they're 15 minutes from not one but two racetracks.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously the question next would be why, and it was always the expense or the stigmas that come with horse racing. So what I did was sit down with my wife and tried to figure out how we could make racing more inviting, more interesting for the layman, the everyday person. And what we did was we marketed it through Facebook and Twitter and through horse racing sites and as many papers as we could. The Toronto Sun did a story on us a little over a month ago. And we've sold, we have about between 50 and 60 investors all over the world, you know, in two continents, four countries, multiple states and provinces. And what we've done is shown that there is millions of dollars of investment out there. Now, we've done it on a small scale, but there's no reason to think that the scalability of the stable.ca is easy to match. You know, it's not like we have all the investment from England or from Ireland or from Belgium or from, you know, Massachusetts, Missouri, wherever it might be. There's millions of dollars of investment out there. We just have to figure out a way to get it. Now, the people of this industry are the salt of the earth. They're great people. They work very hard, much like the rest of the people in Ontario. But they have a real problem marketing and advertising themselves. And I think as an industry, that would be step one, would be to help trainers be able to figure out how to strike up a conversation, connect with people on their level, and actually tell them how easy and inexpensive it is to get involved in horse racing. If we can do that enough times, we can bolster and build our fan base and build our on-site participants in the game and hopefully build our wagering up to a point where we're happy with it. And now that we're partners with the government, they're going to be forced to be happy with it also.
Now, Anthony, a couple of years ago when the Ontario government declared war on horse racing, the breeding numbers went way down. We know that there's going to be a horse shortage because of this. And it's hit full force yet, it's coming. I understand that you've recommended perhaps with shorter fields, maybe giving up a card a week or a couple of cards a month might be one way of evening out the fields a little bit.
Well, I'm sure that'll go over like a lead balloon in horse racing at Mohawk. But at the same time, you have to understand, I don't speak for anybody in the industry other than myself and my wife. And people should understand that I don't hold a position on a board of any kind or am a director in any of the Horsemen's Association. So I certainly don't want people to think that this is being recommended by anybody other than the guy that wrote a blog yesterday on Standardbred Canada. I do believe that we're in a unique position right now because our money comes from the government, straight from the government. So we're not really tied to wagering anymore, which puts us in a tough position because, as somebody pointed out to me the other day, you know, if we don't wager more, we still get the money. Well, I mean, the obvious thing to answer that is we need to improve our industry. We simply need to improve the way that people look at our industry. We need to tear down the stigmas that come with horse racing, and we need to be more inviting to the general public. That's what we have to do. And, I mean, aside from, as you said, the breeding shortages that are obvious and are still to come, we have another huge problem. The exchange rate at the border is, you know, 70 cents on the dollar. So if we had a 15,000 claimer that was competitive with a 15,000 claimer in New York or Pennsylvania or New Jersey, they get to buy it for $11,000 or $11,500. And that puts us in a real tough spot because we can't afford not to sell. You know, if somebody offers us a little more than claiming price, which is still below claiming price there, we can't afford not to sell. So what we're left with is a real mixed bag. And I know the race secretaries are really hard done by and worked hard in Ontario. But for me, I've said it for 2 years, and I'll continue to say it. We need to know exactly what we have in Ontario. We need to know exactly what horses in what classes they fit all over Ontario from what trainers. We need trainers to keep a real-time, up-to-date version of what horses they have so that we can make real-time condition sheets, not just string together a bunch of conditions that end up with a poor bunch of horses. I mean, any given night in Mohawk or Woodbine, you can go there and there'll be two or three really competitive horses and really a bunch of, you know, it ends up being a buffet for those three horses. Sure. And it's really tough to build a business model for owners in Ontario. You know, you combine that with poor purses on the B tracks right now. We really just have a dwindling base of investors and owners, and we have no way to replace them as is. So we really have to make a directional change. We have to do it immediately. And that's why I wrote the blog, and I'll continue to write them, is we have to do something right now.
Okay, let's talk about the stable. So I'm interested, theoretically, in being involved. What's the minimum investment I have to make?
We have a horse right now left. We have, out of the 23 we started with, so potentially we 2,300 shares or pieces of horses, and we only have about 151 left. So we have horses that are for sale right now for 14,000. So 14,000 plus HST is about 158.20 would be your initial investment. You would own 1% of that horse. Your bill at the end of every month, no more, no less, would be $22.60 taxes in. So when you show those numbers to the most skeptical investor, if you have any interest in horses, you have any interest in horse racing, you're going to be curious. And we've had people, like I said, email me from Belgium, England, Ireland, all over every state in the U.S. virtually, and all the provinces. And we have owners all over the world. And it's only going to get bigger next year. And really, this... it's great to come on and talk to you about the stable because it means a lot to me, and I'm very proud of what my wife and I have built. But this isn't about the stable. This is about building 50 of the stables. For us to bolster our fan base the way we need it to be, more trainers are going to have to come forward and be up front and open their doors to the barns, to the general public, and invite them in, make them feel, you know, like they're welcome and that they're part of something, and our industry in general also. So, you know, for every 1% of a horse we sell, you know, we all often see 4, 5, 6 people come with that person to the track or to the burn and watch that horse train. So you think of the scale of fans that we can build. If every 1% had 5 people with it, we had 30 owners in every one horse. That's 150 horses. You know, times by 25 horses, times by 20 or 50 stables, you're talking about, you know, in the range of 20, 30, 50,000 new fans to the game. This doesn't happen overnight. But, you know, people seem to think that there's going to be this huge new idea to fix racing, or it's just not going to happen. We're going to have to roll up our sleeves and do what everybody in this industry has always done, and that's work hard. That's what we need to do right now.
How about licensing paperwork, that kind of thing?
Who handles that?
That's a great question. I'm really glad you asked it. Actually, I think you're going to see in the next couple of weeks Standardbred Canada come forward with some really forward-thinking plans to get people involved and get a license in their hand and in their pocket so they have something tangible. They can say, yeah, I'm a part of this. I spoke in Columbus to the United States Trotting Association Board of Directors 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago now, and it's a little different down there because every state has their own set of rules, and then you have the USTA that governs them that has their own set of rules. So there's a lot of bureaucracy there. Here in Canada, it's really whatever happens in Ontario goes virtually, you know, goes across the border. And changing the rules of Standardbred Canada isn't as difficult as it would be there. So really, it is up to Standardbred Canada to be on the forefront of this, and I think the states All 50 states in the U.S., so the ones that have racetracks will follow suit fairly quickly.
Anybody who's interested can simply go to the website?
Absolutely, yeah. You can go to www.thestable.ca. My email's on there. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You can call me, and the phone number that's attached there is mine. The email that's on there is mine. I make sure that I answer all my emails, whether they come early or late. And, you know, the reason that we have so many people, you know, we'll have a guy show up and buy 1% of a horse, and he'll bring three of his friends back to buy some more. And that's because we really want to make people feel involved. And I think we have a fantastic sport and a great industry full of great people. And we really just have to find a way to show it to the general public. And I think this is I am a little biased, but I think this is the first initiative or site that's come along that will allows us to bridge the gap between our industry and the people in the general public. And I'm really proud of what we've done.